Ready for the word now? Raise one hand, let's say together, dear Father, in the name of your Son Jesus, in this service, we believe and receive a free flow of revelation knowledge in our hearts and in this atmosphere. There's no error or confusion or distraction either on our hearts or in this atmosphere. Together as a church, we behold Jesus Christ, your Son, even as he sees us in him. In this service, is glorified as we are edified together with the body of Christ. Amen. Matthew's Gospel, we're still on the leading of the Spirit. It'll take us a while. And the subject, Brother Higgins says, leading of the Spirit is a subject. He says, well, there are subjects that either you need to know them or someone that's dear to you. Healing, for example, is a subject you need to feed on all the time. And the subject of the leading of the Spirit. Sometimes it's not because you need it alone. Sometimes when you pay attention, it's not just for you. It's for others. When you pay very good attention, like I taught you when I taught you on how to take notes. Some of the reasons why you're taking notes intelligently is because one day, and it's not too far, you will be responsible for others and communicate the same thing. That's why sometimes it becomes injurious when you see Christians who are flying from, you know, I was saying it to someone today, I said you move from one pastor to another pastor. When you are in a local church and you have found the word of God, there's nothing you are looking for again. And there's nowhere you will learn everything to know about God in a year or two or three. So why not just be in some place, stay there and go at that pace? Okay? Our pace is even very slow, amen? You don't believe me? Just learning small, 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 you know, by the day. You know what I mean by that? Because we are led by the Spirit. So you have to take that to heart. So the leading of the Spirit is a subject that you don't just know it. You learn. I remember I was a brother like that, a friend, and he was so confused that day. And this was some years back. And he tried to ask us, there were two people that were asking him to be the pastor. So we told him, follow the word witness. He was like, what? I said, pastor, word witness. Word witness. And one of my friends, Larry then, Pastor Larry, became bishop then. At the College of Bishops. I told you about the College of Bishops. All right. And we're very naughty boys. We used to wear bishopric attire. No, it's our own, no. Actually, okay. You know, they will cut a piece, they'll put it on a black suit. You can't imagine me like that. So you are looking like, yeah, you, yeah. What are these boys doing since they're just, you're small? I will go and I'll ask people in meetings. One day we were at Christ Embassy, that was 1995. Pastor Chris noticed them. I didn't get up because that was not my first time. So first time I stood up, I just got up. And it would be like five. That way, see, and I'll be speaking in tongues. Somebody's going to hear you say, who are these guys? Just try speaking in tongues louder. You know? And then I think it was one guy who, I forgot something about first timers, and they are last speaking the first timers. The guy says, are you all pastors? You know, I think maybe the guy said a scripture, they corrected him and said, no. That's not the Greek word. And they say, yeah. I know, we are, those are only first time. You are not there. They say, sorry. Well, for one, I think it was what meeting Pastor Chris came for in Ibadan then. I think it was five or six. The other night, five or eight, like six, because Larry was still alive then. And he now gave a word of knowledge. There's someone here, a woman, and nobody came out. We're not up to this number. So we just sense, Emoji, who been? So he said, me picking. So that, see that damsel. Where to bring the person out? You be in the one. Say, yeah, the man of God calling you. Not for that. Oh, Jesus. So later years, there were lots of guys that were out of faith there. They went to meet the pastor. They went for a meeting. So the pastor, I really just see you. What did he do for me? So the pastor told me that, okay, that was the guy's meeting. So the guy was ministering the Holy Ghost meeting. He's a pastor everybody here knows. Just went to meet him that. It didn't flow well. In his business, he said, he ought to have given a word of knowledge when he was just praying in the spirit. That this is what the Holy Ghost would have said. And he brought someone as this minister to this person. So the man told me, he said, how much will Lorenz he? He said, but what guy tell you to talk about? What eruded you? You know, those boys. So this was very good. So we had College of Bishops. So we had a Pope. I was TJ. TJ would say, a popeless man is a hopeless man. If you don't have a Pope, you cannot cope, you're on dope. So we had Bishop. I was Senior Shepherd. We had Evangelist, we had Reverend Mrs. We had Apostle. Apostolos. So we had that group. How did that get here? So, oh my God. Okay, so one of us, he now said, we now just rather than teaching me what we do, we first of all cracked his head. Oh, zero. You don't know you were a witness. I just said, Abo ball. You're not born again. He's like, cool down. I said, he was a witness. So we first of all, we came upon him. Now taught him he was a witness. We pray in tongues. He said, I don't think he ever learned it. We didn't teach him anything. We just gave up on his heads. So he chose one of them eventually. Two friends I wanted him to pastor. Eventually he left both of them. How did I get here, Jesus? Why did you do this to me? So I said, Brother Hagin, yeah, that's how I said it. Brother Hagin usually says that you have to, this is a subject you have to know. Healing is something you have to know. That's why the books we just brought out, Walking in the Spirit, Leading in the Spirit, Walking in Love, Healing, feed on them every, there's none of them you don't need every day. If it's just 10, 20 minutes every day, just feed on it every day. Usually what happens was Pastor Hagin that said it. Now, Pastor Hagin is Brother Hagin's son. But Pastor Hagin is 83. So, you know, 83. So, he's going to say Hagin Jr. Yeah, so, who are you? So, he says that you don't prepare for war during war. Whenever a Christian has to walk in emergencies, it's not good. When things happen, you should have had a level of information with which you are going to react or act, better still. Is that clear? So same as leading of the Spirit, when we say to ourselves, as believers, we say, let's find out what God wants to do. Let's go pray about it. You know, what's God telling us? We should know exactly what to do. You know, the moment you have to call somebody, there's a problem. That means a subject you have not paid attention to. You have not paid attention to it. So let's do this. And people are, you know, some people follow Vogue. People are just say, let's go. And you know the way society is. Have you seen people run sometimes on the, and the person running, they don't know why they are all running. No. Just find out. It's something you will see every day. Someone's running, or cats are just turning back. Why are they turning back? Everybody's turning back. Then you now go there and say, there's nothing. Now, it looks funny, but that is exactly how people are led. So you cannot follow the fear. You know, just like I was talking to a pastor friend, we were talking just before the service. I said, look, we're both talking Nigerians, you are complaining. So on my alumni group, now there's one that's my classmate, there's one that is all the grand old boys, the ones that finished in government college in the 1930s, 1940s. So those ones. And you know, they don't put their name, so everybody has to be sir before you get into trouble. So I told them, I said, but they sang Ilule Okoso Olode. I said in the 60s, 70s, I was wrong, but it was late 70s. I said they sang one about let me go out of the country. I said this was in the 60s. I said what was in Nigeria in the 60s? There was civil war. There was Operation Wet here. There was Western Union crisis. Nigeria crisis. There was oil boom and corruption. Every regime that took over will say, fellow Nigerians, because of the maladministration, economic downturn, corruption. So they all kept quiet. So that's it. We just like complaining. I think that's just the truth. I agree. Can anyone tell me when Nigeria was very good? Everybody went quiet. So we're just used to complaining. I told you one time, and that my friend reminded me that I was in the bus, and the Lord said, can you just listen to how everybody talks? This was 28 years ago. And I just said, people were talking. I know some people will be quiet initially, but they just cut the spirit. It's you! I mean, all those, what do you call, federal mass transit. I say, or Molu, how you don't know what Molu is? Molu, Lagos City Transport, Federal Molu, you don't know it. I could never be out. I mean, I can't forget Molu in my life. Because you know how to enter, you just enter to Rus and enter, you know. So, if you have big body, you have problem. Because you can't do that thing. You know, and he, you know, I just entered, and everybody was just complaining. Hey. I said, listen to how you talk. So, a Christian must guard his heart. You just find yourself just complaining. Complaining about everything, complaining about churches, complaining about the nation, complaining about family, about your parents, about your siblings, about your husband, about your children. That's what I said that. You know, all the parents, each generation, the children, speak for your own father. My father did not spoil the country. And I gave records. So that's why we have different surnames. Speak for your own. I don't join people to say nonsense. I would say, people just talk. And I told you this. I was sharing Pastor Tos 2 days ago, and he now told me another story like that. This lady, she came and she said, look, I can't serve God. Everything is tough. My husband. And I saw her. As she was talking, I saw a vision. I said, did you attend so-and-so university? She felt that it was something I knew. No, maybe I knew her there. She said, I said, school. I said, no. You know, your God is just funny. He came to meet the pastor. He asked you a question. You think because he calls your face somewhere in his past? No, I don't know you. I said, no. I said, you were in so-and-so hall. Did you come to preach? I said, you don't understand what is going on. I said, you were in a room. When I said, four of you were there, three people were with you, and one person walked through, I said, he said, God is showing you. Are you asking me? I said, you were not talking about pastors, and you just ran your mouth. No, today is, you know, Roman, just be tweeting. I said, you know, I can't know my name, pastor. Nobody come and disturb my life. I don't want any disturbers. I said, you said it. Said those words, they are not Christians. So nobody's going to disturb them normally. You said it. I said, that's what you have. He looked at me. He said, that was a long time. Long time? No. How can I say that was a long time? That this house is there. It's been built for a long time. And that's why it's standing. The way it was built. You said it consistently. Say, that's what you have. Don't join with the complaint. I was telling someone, they said, the contract is, that's how they clear cell alarms. Have you not seen when they do MMM, how much people steal? There's no money. Somebody will steal billions. Yes, now. Billions. I said, there's no money. You find out somebody that says there's no money. When the person tells you how they have hit him, so you had this kind of. Have you found that before? Baba Sego. You never told me. It was something I was saving. Oh. So you have to be led by God's Spirit. Is that clear? Matthew's Gospel 1. So, in other words, we should. This is not a subject you should play with. You should know it and be led. But in the ministry, you have no choice. You have to be led by the Spirit of God. And everybody is in the ministry. You have to be led by the Spirit. Matthew 1:1. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And we said that this is an attempt. And a clear attempt by the writer here to direct us back to the Old Testament. Be the bit of that. Yesterday at this teaching meeting, I taught you how to interpret a text. Who was around? Can you remind me? Don't put your head down. Your head will not be bowed in Jesus' name. We said number one, that if you see a text, of course we've mentioned the fact that the writers of the New Testament have an assumption. That assumption is that you are reading what? The Old Testament. Very fine. That assumption. So you must take on that assumption every time. So we said that when you see a text, I'm going to just repeat it for the sake of those who were not there, because I know it was in the morning. I said the first thing is that when you read a text, find out the context of that text, in the sense of the structure. Which means that if a conversation starts, and I showed you that in John 3, find out where the conversation started from. You know why? Because the writer did not use verses. You just say, for God so loved the world that I gave his only begotten son, whosoever believes in him shall never perish. John 3:16. You can go with that in evangelism and the soul will be saved. But when it comes to knowing God and walking with him, you need to start from verse 1. Now, after then, or after this, there was a certain man. Afterwards, chapter 2 into 3. That means this, a new conversation starts there. They look at the conversation between Nicodemus, then Jesus, then you get to 16, 2 to 18. So you, the conversation. And secondly, I said, you must find out the grammatical meanings of the words. Okay? The first one, the grammatical structure. Is it a conversation? Is it a paragraph? Then also, in your own study, break it into sentences yourself. So it will be reasonable. Sentences, ignore the commas and full stops. Sometimes when I'm a Christocentric person, don't forget. My own is just not electric. When they start talking and he says, this is full past tense, past tense of the word, it doesn't really flow like that in the originals. And one of these days we'll get to that point. So the grammatical structure, then the grammar itself. We begin to look at the grammar and say, what is the meaning of this word? And I said to us that some words are not as English as you think. They are not as English as you think. So do not apply English to them immediately. Okay? Then we said number 3, what is it interpreting? Is that the third one? Huh? Hmm? Huh? Meaning of? Okay, what's the second one? Grammatical structure. What's the first one? Conversation. Okay, sorry. I think I put them together. The conversation, where did it start from? Second, the grammar. Alright? Grammar and all that. Then the third, I said the meaning of the words. Is that it? Then the fourth, what is it interpreting? Do not forget that it's always interpreting the Old Testament. What area of the Old Testament is interpreting? And we found out, you know, quite a number yesterday. That's the fourth, right? That's the fourth. Then the fifth is, what's the theology in the text that it is interpreting? And how did the New Testament apply it? So those are critical things in study. You can't be in a hurry and rush and make a conclusion. Then you now say, how does it apply in our own world today? So that's how to interpret a Bible text. So again, the writers here are leading us back to the Old Testament, Matthew 28:20. See them to observe all things I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. Let me mention this. There is no subject, listen to me, that I teach. I'm your pastor. There's no subject I teach, whether it's first service, second service, Wednesday, or the teaching services, that are not interrelated. It is an assumption also on my part that I believe that every member of the church is present every time I'm teaching. So, the pastor is trying to make up for those who did not come. It doesn't happen all the time, oh. You are the one that go and make up yourself. Just to let you know. So here, we're finding the divinity of Jesus. Mark's Gospel 1, the beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as is written in the prophets. Again, taking you back to the Old Testament. So this always directs us, back to the Old Testament text. Mark 16 and 19. So that's what the Lord has spoken unto them. Now he changes the phrase to the Lord. And we say that is the Adonai or Yahweh Old Testament, Lord Adonai of the Old Testament. Like speaking about God here, says, spoken unto them, he was visible to heaven, and we saw the meaning of this yesterday and also the day before, and sat on the right hand of God. And he went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord walking with them, Sadducees there, and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Luke's Gospel 1. For as much as many are taken in hand to set forth in order the creation of those things which are most assuredly be among us, even as given them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitness and ministers of the word. So we said that he gathered this from primary sources, he's the secondary source, and said that's how much of the scriptures were put together. Seemed good to me also, verse 3, I'm not perfect on the center of all things from the very first, to write on thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, which is the same audience as Acts 1:1. So we said this is the A part of the book of Acts. This is the opening of the book of Acts. This gives the background to the book of Acts. Then Luke 24, very popular road to Emmaus, and I've always said that every writer, every preacher must take a journey on the road to Emmaus and do what Jesus and his disciples did here. Luke 24:25. Then he said to them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken, all not Christ who have suffered these things, 26, and to enter into his glory. Again, repeat. So Matthew 1:1 takes us to Genesis. Mark 1:1 eventually takes us to Genesis, beginning RK. Then you have Luke here, doesn't start with Genesis, but by the time you get to Luke, it takes you back to the beginning of Luke and tells you to go back to Genesis. 27, begin at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Verse 44. Then he said, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which are written in the law of Moses and the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. The emphasis is strong enough for you to know that they want you to read the Old Testament. Then open it their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Now go to John 1, I'll focus this evening. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Just like I explained how to interpret the text. Now naturally, the grammar here is logos. So you pick your meaning from subject matter. Subject matter, focus, emphasis. That's what logos is. Derived by the man Heraclitus, an ancient Greek philosopher, which summarizes things as logos. But since we know, now, we know very well that this, interpreting the Old Testament, John 5:39, John 5:40, the scriptures testify of me, John 5:46, he wrote about me, John 5:47, if you don't believe his words, you can't believe my words. So which means that John is telling us that Jesus is an Old Testament personality. Old Testament now refers to books, not the message. So this has to be the word of the Lord. And that is not a subject matter, that is the visibility of God in the Old Testament. Just like Abraham had in Genesis 15:1-2. We've done this study before. So this helps us. Now, in this instance, you get the grammar. Yeah. You get the... Now, when we talk about the grammar, I mentioned something yesterday. I said sometimes the grammar is not just the Greek. We're going to see something in a moment. It's how the Greek interprets the Old Testament. And the Old Testament is in Hebrew. So in other words, sometimes we have to juggle both together to see the concept that has been explained. So the word of the Lord here, Dabar Yahweh, D-A-B-B-A-R, is what is being said. So Logos interprets Dabar. Now, is it strong enough? Not necessarily, but it's good enough to communicate what is being said. So John is identifying Jesus, just like John 1:18, as the visible God to us. So John 20 and 22. And when he had said this, he breathed on, that's the word emphasis, which he says on them, emphasize, to receive you the Holy Ghost. So he said the word emphasis, again, if you throw this into the Greek Old Testament, which is called the Septuagint, you find in your translations spelled as L or connoted as connotation of LXX. If you throw it in, the first mention of it is in Genesis 2:7. Now, the import of that, apart from that, let me just run through that. Genesis 2:7, which is something, Genesis 2:7, it's a pre-Eden experience. Now, look at how it happens simultaneously. The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Breathe into his nostrils. Like I've said oftentimes, Genesis is archetypal. So the verse 8 says, and the Lord God planted a garden, watch this, in Eden. There he put the man whom he had formed. This is simultaneous. Because where was the man? He put the man whom he had formed. So, which means that this scenario means that by breathing into man, God brings man into fellowship with him to be where he is. Eden is the garden of God. It's not for man. Alright? It's God. It's God's dwelling place in the earth. That's how the archetypal story puts it. And so he brings man to the same place. Now, look at the next time we're going to see this used for a man in this sense is Ezekiel 37. Pay very good attention here. Now, Ezekiel 37 has a background. Ezekiel 36. Where, verse 26, 25 says, then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean. From all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. Redemption? Huh? New creation. He says, a new heart also will I give you. A new spirit. Alright? Will I put within you. I'll take the stone out of your flesh. I'll give you a heart of flesh. Shall I have a heart of flesh? Alright, good. 27. I'll put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. Alright? So this is the background to Ezekiel 37. Ezekiel 37 now says, he took Ezekiel to the valley full of bones. Verse 1. Can these dry bones live? Look at it. Live. Live. Thou knowest. This is prophesy. Alright? Then he says in 5, cause breath to enter into you and you shall live. That takes you to Genesis 22 verse 7 again. Are you with me? Very good. Verse 9 now says, say unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say, thus say, look, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into. The word there is emphusal. So, which means, chapter 37, verse 1 to 9, explains how chapter 36, verse 25 to 27 is going to happen. By the spoken word, by the word of God being, because in John 6 and 67, they said, you alone, you have the words of life, the words of eternal life. Those are the words of Christ, the words from his resurrection. So this is how this is fulfilled. Now, let me now point something out to you. Now, if you, don't forget again, we said the verses and chapters are to be ignored if you have real study to do. So 36 again, and verse 34. So you have restoration going on in 36 and 37. Now, after the promise of salvation, multiplying 30, 31, redemption, 30, 32, 33, parents 34. Desolate land shall be filled, tilled, whereas it lay desolate in the sight of all that passed by. They shall say, this land that was desolate is become like the garden of Eden, and the waste and desolate ruined cities are become fenced. Can you see it? You know, garden of Eden is also a fenced place. So which means that the writer is using the Eden motif. The sacred supernatural place motif. The temple motif. So what's going on here is Eden or the temple of God. Now, so that you know that Ezekiel is borrowing much from that. Ezekiel 28. Verse 1. The word of the Lord came unto me saying, son of man, say to the prince of Tyros, thus saith the Lord God, because thy heart is lifted up, thou hast said, I am a God. I sit in the seat of God, in the midst of the seas, yet thou art a man, and not God, though thou set your heart as a God. Now, notice the word lifted up. Go to verse 13. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Then he says here, every precious stone was thy covering. And it went on. Look at 14. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. And I've said thee also, thou was upon the holy mountain of God. Thou walks up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Holy mountain. So Eden is called mountain. Are you here? It's called mountain. It's a heavenly place, no doubt. Just like Isaiah 14. Let's go to there quickly. These are part of our studies, so I know. I'm just giving you reminders. Isaiah 14, verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in your heart, I will ascend unto heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation. Verse 13, in the sight of the north. Verse 14, this is a supernatural world conversation. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. So, what happened, therefore, Eden is a supernatural place. Is that clear? It's the heavenlies. It's the heavenly place. Let me use that phrase. Now, what preceded Eden? The giving of the Spirit, right? Huh? So, the moment that happens, a man is found in Eden, or in God's temple, or sacred place. So, what has gone on now? Which means that what Jesus did in John 20 is to bring us, in this instance now the 12, into God's sacred place, into his temple, into his holy place. So the motif there, in that codified language, it compresses the Exodus into Genesis and what Ezekiel is talking about. Does it make sense? Does it make sense now? Uh-huh. So by Jesus doing that, of course we said John brings him out to us as God. Okay? And because he's God, right, this is what he does. He brings us to that sacred area. We are in his holy place. We are in his temple. Now, what's unique about that? It means, therefore, that we have an Adam. That's why it's called the last Adam, second Adam, all those concepts. Now, in Genesis 2, what now happens? Look at what does a man now do in that garden? 15. He took man and said, and put him in the garden of Eden to dress it and keep it. It's like he put him in the garden is now twice. So these are some verses. This is, you are there for this purpose. To dress it, that's the word abad. To take charge, which is used for priests. To dress it, or to be a priest, and to keep it. Okay? What else? Now, Job 15 gives us a hint. So first and foremost, man is brought into the heavenly, right? Right? Seated above the host of heaven, right? In the supernatural world. So in redemption, that position is restored and greater in Christ. So by the new birth, you are already in the spirit. Is that very clear? You are already, say, I am in the spirit. By the new birth, you are already in. The one reason why being led of the spirit is something you must know very well. It's not an extra subject that, you know, a man just says, oh, okay, okay, okay. No. So, look at Job. Eliphaz, having a knowledge of what happened in Genesis, spoke about the first man. Verse 7. Are thou the first man that was born? That was made before the hills. He now says, you heard the secret of God, or you listened to. Now that word there is sod, S-O-D, it means a council of supernatural beings. That means you heard. Now, by bringing Adam to the heavenlies, because what we know in Genesis 1, 14, 15, 16, is that they are the host of heaven, and those are supernatural beings. Genesis 2, 1, the host of heaven, supernatural beings. Today we call them angels, but supernatural beings. So if you look at the new birth, it says we are in spiritual heavenly places. It's the Genesis motif. Are you with me? Are you with me? Good. So he said, the first man heard into that assembly. He heard. He listened. Now in Jeremiah 23. So if we pick the archetype of God's purpose for man from Adam, it means that my purpose in life is defined supernaturally. Now look at Jeremiah 28. Jeremiah now talks about the difference between a fake prophet and an original prophet. Sorry, 23. And verse 18. Now, this is not to make a distinction between a fake prophet and a false prophet. For who has stood in the, that was his sword, who has stood in the council of the Lord, that is, the assembly of the Lord, and have perceived and heard his word. Is that similar to what we read now? Huh? Talk to me. You're 15. Okay, good. And who had marked his word and heard it. So, verse 22. But if they had stood in my counsel and caused my people to hear my words, then they would have turned them from their evil way and from evil of their doing. So, what it means is, pay attention. I'm going to deal with this on Sunday. In the new birth, you now can hear. Okay, well, let me put it like this. Man is made to hear and perceive things in the spirit. So when Job was talking, Eliphaz said, do you even know what's going on? Because we know that in Job 1 and 2, there was this thing happening in the heavens. Job was definitely oblivious of it. So are you the first man? So that position is not my position today. And here, Jeremiah is saying that, have you stood in that council? Have you heard that in that assembly? If you have heard it, you will have said the right thing. So that's what is going on. Now, in Genesis 2, we see it in Adam. Which means that what Jesus is doing to the 12, which is, again, the consequence of what happens to us as Christians in new birth, is that we're not just, we have the Holy Ghost, and we, hey, glory, no. We are now functional somewhere where we can hear and perceive. So the world of the supernatural, or say the spirit, is very real to us. I want to pick on that on Sunday. When John says, I was in the spirit on the Lord's Day. Revelation 1:10. I was in the spirit. I won't forget, it was Reverend Chris Okotie that, you know, first explained that text to me. That was almost 20 years ago. And he said that the way it is in the Greek, I had never seen it. He said, it's like when you get into a room and you go out. Eh? I thought the guy just left and just woke up and was seeing all sorts. So that led into the study of that. And we're going to look at that. So here, we have this concept of who man is. He's a priest. So when you read Genesis, you are reading the supernatural world. So which means that I am meant to function supernaturally. So I must define my purpose in life from that point on. I like what somebody said two days ago. And he said the first thing that a man must do, that we have to agree. Okay, I was telling someone today who said that some people can be theologians and they're not Christians. I said, that's more. I said, I have engaged almost 8 people now who went to school, university, got to level of professor in theology as atheists. The reason why they studied is so that they can attack Christians. I said, huh? I said, oh. So the first thing is that you must submit to the authority of Scripture. When you do that, your study of Scripture becomes worship of God and you begin to know what God is saying. So here we are. Our purpose in life is defined supernaturally. There's nowhere and no way. I'm going to touch an issue later on. I mentioned it yesterday in the service. I'm going to say it again today. You know, there's no way you can define your life purpose by things that you choose to do. Or someone chose for you. It's not possible. It has to be what God chose. That's how it has to be. Now, in Genesis 2, we now find this statement. Look at it in verse 21. The Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. A deep sleep. And that deep sleep is not an anesthesia. It's not heavy dreams. Genesis 15:12. That deep sleep is a vision. So what's going on? Is he listening to conversations in the world of the spirit? Is he hearing and passing things in the world of the spirit? Yeah. So he now sees who. Listen to this very well, though. He now sees who the woman is. So there is no way you can know who a man is from sociology, biology, physiology. And this has to help you, because I was telling someone sometime back, I said, you see, we're talking about husband and wife. I said, let me tell you the truth. I said, your husband is an African man. He's a new creature. And a new creature should walk in love. I said, but what if he does not? He's a new creature. He should walk in love, but he will still see you like, ah. You know? I know the funny thing is that you went to Fair Yahoo. You're the one that went to Fair. What's this? That's all I said. So the wife, I said, you are going to park out of this house. When I heard that, and you are talking about somebody who has been hearing the word. So there was really no difference. Park out of. How did it come out of your mouth? Yes. You know, new creature. But you know, he's seeing her like somebody who is renting his house. Because it's culture. So look at how Adam knew who Eve was. He saw in the spirit. Then he said, you are a side of God's house. So what he saw clearly was equality. A side. That's why, when I say he took a rib, I told you that there's no biology going on here. He didn't even know what rib was. So he could have written rib and said the rib cage is the part of the skeletal structure, of the physiological structure, something that you went to school to study and some of you failed. You see, Moses will not be writing it. And he will get it right. How now? It's not science. The word here is inside of a chamber of the temple. Those who read it in Exodus and knew that, oh, this is inside of, oh, okay, man is God's dwelling place. Exodus 29:45, I will dwell in you. Okay. So a woman is equally God's temple like a man. That's what is going on here. Are you following what I'm saying? You see, my missing rib is, so I'll say you are missing, we're not going together. No, my missing rib, but my epa. Now he's owing money. That's a job. Come and help her, come and help my destiny. So what we have here is basically, we have the supernatural. That means that we're born into the realm of the supernatural. We are called to know things supernaturally. Are you here? We are called, so the new creation in Christ picks a motif from there. The supernatural. So definitely, Jesus' interactions with those guys, when he breathed on them, of course, by the spirit of the word, they started having such things. You could see that very easily they do things in the Holy Ghost, why they are brought into that sacred place. You can hear and know things in the spirit. On the day of Pentecost, all the 120, they had cloven tongues as of fire, sat upon each of them. The supernatural now became something that they could interact with easily. And that is what has happened to you. Hallelujah. I can say, Paul, what's going on? When you are not feeding on something, Jesus taught them intensely. That's what they were hearing. There was no room to hear, these junk food people hear today. No. They're just feeding on the word. And definitely you'll be able to walk in the supernatural. Are you here? So, in looking at being led by the Spirit, we have to go to what is God's purpose for man. You can't detach that from your own life. So last week we looked at being born, remember? Huh? Now, go to Genesis 3:15. Let me just show you something quickly. E.W. Kenyon said that the Bible is a story of redemption, that is a story of God's love and redemption. And you could see that the solution is Genesis 3:15. Conception, birth, a seed. Let me pick out something here. We often say that where scripture is misinterpreted, a major truth is lost. Look at 16. Now we read 15 last week, right? The 15 last week. Seed of the woman, birth, right? Birth as theology. Is that clear? Look at 16. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception, in sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and that thou shalt be over thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. So there's a thing about, what God is saying basically here is that because man has sinned, he will have labor pains. The woman will have labor pains. Now, this is absolutely not true. Because what he is discussing here is the Redeemer. So, the moment you move from redemption and the supernatural to the maternity word, whatever is saying here, you have lost it. Now he's talking about the travails in redemption. Now let me just point something out. Because 15 and 16 are related. In 16 he says, I'll go by your sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow you will bring forth children. Now in the Hebrew, many of the translations are not decided whether the children there is plural or singular. I side with singular, since it flows with 15. Now, the word conception here, which explains bringing forth children, the bringing forth children is related to the conception, is the word Aaron. There is no pain in conception. Conception means when a child is conceived. There's no pain in that. So, which means what he's talking about here is quite different. Now, in Ruth 4:13, Hosea 9:11, the word here is Aaron. H-E-R-O-N. That now leads to bringing forth, yalad in the Hebrew, children. But let's pick on what he's talking about. When he says here, I will greatly multiply your sorrow, and in sorrow you bring forth children. Now he uses two words. The first word, sorrow, here is the word itzabon. Itzabon. H-I-T-S-T-S-A-B-O-N. Itzabon. Let me show you where you find it, so you know that he's not talking about laboring in the maternity word. Genesis 5:29. He called his name Noah. Right? When Noah was going to be born. Saying, this shall comfort us. Now watch this. Concerning our work and toil of our hands. Because of the ground which the Lord had caused. Toil of our hands. So he's saying that, that it has shifted the toil of our hands. That this child is born as a rest place from the toil. So the toil here has to do with sin. Now the Hebrew is about anxiety, fear, and worry. Anxiety, fear, and worry. Now the second word, pain, is etseb. E-T-S-E-B. Right? It follows the same pattern. Pain or labors. Labors. Psalm 127 verse 2. Proverbs 15 verse 10. No, sorry, 5 verse 10. Proverbs 10:22. The verses of God make it rich and hardened no sorrow. Proverbs 15:1. Jeremiah 22 verse 28. So what it's basically talking about is there is anxiety, right? Pain. There will be anxiety, pain, right? In the conception and the bringing forth of the seed. This doesn't rule out having, menstrual pain, labor pains, no, but this is not what he's talking about. He's talking about the seed. And you notice that in Galatians 4, Paul relates Jesus to this text. Galatians 4, at the fullness of time, Paul, Galatians 4, verse 4, God sent forth his son, made of a woman. When it says made under the law, it's referring to Genesis, because right there in Genesis, Galatians 4:21, it refers to Genesis as the law. That is made from Genesis. So Jesus fulfills this. Just like Noah's birth is a precursor to it. He fulfills it. So this is not about birth pains or stuff like that. It's about genealogy. Matthew 5:1, read that earlier, Genesis 5:1. Jesus fulfills this. So in 1 Timothy 2, you see Paul. Now I'm going to make a correction to your King James translations. 1 Timothy 2. Are you here? So this is Jesus. I think I've mentioned it to you as well. That in Genesis 3, let me just mention this quickly. Genesis 3 and verse 17. In sorrow you eat all the days of your life. Then you now find that God is the one that now bears that sorrow. Genesis 6 and verse 6. It grieved God, gave him at his own heart. So 1 Timothy 2. And verse 14. Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in transgression. Now notice verse 15. King James will say, she shall be saved. But the Greek has no gender. No he or she. So, notwithstanding, shall be saved in childbearing. or shall be saved by the bearing of the child. If you go to Genesis 3, where this happened, it is the birth of the Messiah. Does it make sense? Because what you use here is technogomia, T-E-K-N-O-G-O-M-I-A, from the word technogineo, T-E-K-N-O-G-O-N-E-O. It either can be singular or plural, to give birth to a particular child. So this means, despite the sin or transgression, salvation is by the birth of that child. So Paul is reading Genesis 3. Are we right? So it's not that, oh, a woman will not have labor pains. That's not true. That's not what he's saying here. This is about salvation. Is that clear? And relates to what we have said. Now, the core of what we're discussing is, that means that the birth motive is very strong in Scripture. The birth motive is very strong in Scripture, which is redemption. So let's put it in this way. That means that my physical birth is meant to be a precursor, a predecessor of my spiritual birth. So the first thing is in salvation. Remember Pastor Deboye's book, I think I mentioned it last time. He said, what is the purpose for your life? That's the book is how to find God's plan or something. And the first thing he said, there was a brother that just read it for me. He said, you are saved. It was so simple. Get saved. So, when we are preaching the gospel to people, it's not just, oh, you guys go to heaven when you die. No. It's like, look, even to know why you are on earth is salvation. Amen. So, I found God's purpose for my life. So, it's salvation. So, we now looked at the different births. Okay. So I said that you must find out who am I? Who am I? So you won't have an identity crisis. Who am I? So we looked at different births. I'm going to pick on a few. Look at Exodus 2:2. Moses. In the midst of, now notice that Moses also follows the Exodus, so Genesis 3:15, at his birth. I skipped something. You know that anxiety happened to Eve as soon as she had Cain. She said, Cain is the one. When she asked him, she said, this is the one. So there was really anxiety. Now Exodus 2:2, the woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw him, now, she conceived in the midst of, can we say, toil? Anxiety? Because Herod was killing children. And she saw he was a goodly child. Why do you think she's thinking like that? Because she knows that God's intervention in humanity is by birth. So, the word goodly here is tohu, which we are going to find in Genesis 1, T-O-W-B. He saw the light, and it was good. Verse 4. Good means functional, useful, proper. It was good. In Hebrews 11:23, the writer of Hebrews was a beautiful child, a proper child. Astos, A-S-T-H-O-S, which you also find in Acts 7:20 for Moses too. That Hebrews 11:23, Acts 7:20. Which is, pay attention, well suited. This is for that purpose. What purpose? Redemption. New creation. Renewal of the heart. Of the earth. So we can say therefore that Moses' birth, by birth and discovery of his parents, alright, they knew who he was. So what did they do? Hebrews 11:23 says they hid him. Pay attention now. I want you to listen very well because I want this to get into your heart very, very well. Now, the word hid, Hebrews 11, they hid him. Now, is that characteristic of God? Let's start from where it starts. It was Abel, but it was thought to have been who? Cain. So in other words, Abel was hid. So hid doesn't mean to, it's relative to man. What it means, you know, I've told you before, he hides his wisdom from the, his word from the wise and the prudent. And I said hiding has to do with relative to the heart. So which means that none of us will fulfill God's purpose based on human perception. God's plan will keep being hid from common sense. So how did they know who he was? Was he his shape or revelation? Huh? Revelation. So that hid, does it apply to Jesus? Huh? If you were Jesus' nurse, midwife, there's nothing special about him. Nothing. In fact, they couldn't get a hospital for an inn. No one said, there's a child that's going to be born. No one spoke about him outside Elizabeth. And of course, Zachariah that knew the father. And no one knew anything. Until he was 2 years old. Two. God was a man 2 years old. Two. Then they brought gifts. From the east. Anybody? So God said, in this place. So wasn't that he was going everywhere I preached and say, I know who I am. I know who. No. You get it? He was there. As soon as, of course, information came out, the devil went after him and he went to Egypt. Heat. Similar to Moses. So we find David. Now these are neat ones. David's own, his mother, because I'm talking about, this is just historical, his mother was not one of Jesse's wives. So she was in the house. So he just, okay, maybe the mother just dumped him and said, look, I can't take care of this child though, just dump him. I said, okay, well, he looks like me. And he kept him. So that means that the circumstance of his birth, again, is in God's wisdom. Look at just there. And he now came to the point. And he revealed who he was. And even at that, Satan still came after him. But it was proper. At that point, he was fit. So Jesus was hid until he was ready. Moses until he was ready. Imagine if Satan started calling after Jesus when he was two. Lamb of God will just go. Or David, you know, but he had come to know the Lord, just like Moses. It was hid. So Moses had, you know, Miriam who helped another. Let's see. Those are, we have. I mentioned all about Isaac. You know, even Ishmael and Hagar were mocking him. So there was nothing outstanding. His birth. They just, okay, an old woman has a child. You know, and to now make issues. Baba Abraham said had more children. Assuming he was this child is everything. Just say, let's stop there. He had more children. So that means the man had brothers. Just like Mary had children. So our Lord had brothers. Amen. Brothers. So, I was even saying, where are we going? The Bible said, well, we are going to worship God. I see the knife, I see. He himself did not know. And immediately, he said, look, the Lord will provide a lamb. And from there, he had his own encounter. Genesis 26, started striving with him. They will now have Jacob. Jacob's womb was the same one. It was a mom who knew from the womb. Nothing. In fact, even an Isaac. So you see the concept of being hid follows through. I'll pick on Joseph. Joseph's own, okay, I think I wrote here, I said, birth with him, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, okay. Joseph's own, was exceptional. He came out and he said, this is who I am. He didn't know how to interpret it. He said, all of you bow to me. I'll be your pastor. I said, oh, boy, okay. This boy is a stupid boy. You know, he didn't stop there and I told his dad, I saw you and mommy. Ah. You know, and because, you know, familiarity is an interesting thing. Even somebody you have known, this is God's purpose, you have prophesied, you have laid hands in the Holy Ghost meeting, you have said all this and all that, he said, by the power of the Holy Ghost, and he said, you know, after a while, there's a way humanity just takes over. Just takes over, and the same Jacob, now sir, what's wrong with this boy? Me. You get it? What's wrong with this boy? Miriam at some point just said to Moses, are you the only one? Yes, after a while. Even Jesus' brothers. The mom was like, some pastor came over here. The mom went to see Jesus and said, tell pastor I want to see him. Somebody said, my God. She called him my God, though, in the womb. In Acts 2, in Luke 2, the guy was in doing Bible study. Jesus was in verse, we've been looking for you. You know, it's very easy to forget. I mean, after you had put on pampers. You know, you have said, maybe it just took something. Bring it, my Lord. You know, and we were ourselves, Jesus. You know, you get that point. You say, if I grew up, nothing. That's the whole form of communists, like that, 3 verse 2. You know, he says he's in church. I said, where is this boy? You know, imagine if we are looking for him for how many days. Are you thinking they are praying? They are already saying, this boy is just too forward. Normal parents mean, this boy will not kill me. And it's not about Jesus. It's Jesus, God, though. I found him. I don't know. What did you go do? You know, God. He knew he was. I mean, yeah. So even God allows that to happen to a further height the person. Are you following what I'm saying here? To further height the person. So you have Joseph. You know, if you say, Joseph, how are you going to feel this thing? He'll have said, the first thing I think, I'll set up a school of ministry. Yeah. Whether my brothers come or not. You know, UK. Then they just started hating him. At that point, you'll have thought, oh my God. Did I really see something? I mean, when there's a vision, there should be provision. God has called me next thing, my brothers don't like me. And all those things are happening. And he went to Egypt. You know, like you're praying this week, you don't even know where this prayer is going. Glory, glory. Give me your hand. Yeah, thank you. And he's taking it to Egypt. A higher purpose than all this your prayer points. What's going on? I pray in the Holy Ghost and you find yourself, what's going on? But all through, the author of Genesis says, God was with him. You know, what a way to know what you are doing is right. He said, God was with him. And he's with him, and there's all the tests and trials, and they are lying against him, they are doing these ones with him. He went and interpreted dreams for some guy, one got killed, one went to the palace, and didn't talk about it. You know, it's good he didn't talk about it. He just got there, as he got out of prison, he gave him, how your experience? I want to first of all, appreciate a man of God. I'm telling you, by the name of Joseph, in fact, if not for the king will have said, oh, so there's somebody who gives people dreams that will release them. Go and kill that boy. So there are some times you'll be grateful. There's somebody who said, go and bring him. Because they have no problem. King is enjoying. He said, what's your name, Joseph? Where did he come from? He said, he came from Canaan. And he's the one that wanted to rape the... So they've not killed you. You have time to be interpreting things. Hallelujah. So I'm led by the Spirit of God. I don't yield to the flesh. No anxieties. It's just good to, but he, you know, God with him is like the inward witness. He just knew. He may not be nice in the head, okay? But in my spirit, I'm fine. I'm good. Hallelujah. I'm good. I'm good. And he just, I'm fine. Are you? And then he went. But God hid him. Hallelujah. From common sense. He hid him. Because many times, some of us, we cut short before we get to, Brother talks about, faces. Faces of ministry. Some people, you know, that means there was a face in his life. There was another face. Some people will not even enter the first face. Because they're in a hurry, they have things planned out. Before they do anything, they've gone on Facebook. They say, you see my life, see that, you know. Someone said to me, he said, happiness is usually cut off from your life when two things. One, when you are thinking about your past and when you are observing people too much. And you now reflect on yourself. Then you lose happiness. And here he goes, nothing, God has called you what you are doing. I am not bothered, Now what I'm doing, I'm called to do it. God spoke to me. I heard his word. 1 Corinthians 2. Paul says that the wisdom that God hid for the prince of this world, had they known it, they would not have created the Lord of glory. So he hid this wisdom for our glory. So we speak this wisdom, 1 Corinthians 2:7. Among them that are perfect. Not the wisdom of the world, the prince of this world that comes to nothing. Said, but the wisdom which he hid from the foundation of the world for our glory. For at the prince of this world, they will not have created the Lord of glory. For as I have not seen the eyes, I have not heard, neither has it entered the hearts of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. But he has revealed them unto us by what? Facebook? Instagram? By his spirit. Amen. I have not seen. Prince of this world. There's an intelligentsia. Said no. Romans 16:25, the same thing. Colossians 1:27. So that follows. So why then do I pray? Paul now says, this is how you are going to pray. Are you following what I'm saying? Okay, I think he will say that you pray the Pauline prayer. When I first read him talking about Believer's Authority and other book, that he prayed that prayer, I stood up, I can't forget. That I won't tell you how I looked like. I put my feet in water and I stood up and I prayed Pauline prayers. I can't call how many hours, but I'm sure it's up to a whole day. Say, my eyes should be opened. My eyes should be opened. My eyes, you know, some of us, we think a lot. I can be very logical. Before you know it, you are thinking that you are doing the right thing. No. My eyes should be open. Paul says, I cease not to make mention of you prayer, making of my prayers, making mention of you, that the God, Father of Lord Jesus Christ, will grant you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Now look at that prayer. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, you may know what is the hope, expectation of that calling. Now that calling, is it related to your birth? Of who you are. So, you need revelation to know who you are. Revelation. To know who you are. You pray that prayer. The eyes of your understanding. Because in chapter 3 verse 14, for this cause I bow my knees before the Lord Jesus Christ, on whom the Father of God is named. How am I named? There's a way. Look at me. Remember, something Pastor Chris said years ago. He said, there's a destiny in the world. There's a destiny in God. I remember I used Ephesians 2:1 to say it. That there is, 2:3, sorry. There's a way the world will go. You know? And there's one in God. You can't, the one in God, you have to find out. The one in the world, just be following. Following trends, vogues, and you'll be fine. Just be knowledgeable. You know? And be current. You know, you're just current. Be a current person. Current. The current is like electricity, but then somehow it's fine. Be current. Sometimes, you know, I told you just feel left out. I don't know this, I don't know that, I don't know. And, you know, curiosity, you just say, let me know. And then you begin to rearrange your life. You know, like I said earlier on, you are just unhappy. Not because you are not full of joy, but you just say, see somebody else to compare yourself. You know. I said, no. It's a destiny, because that's why I took the series in 1998 to 99. Fulfilling your destiny in God. I taught it for 1 year, 3 months. I was this kind of things. Know God's plan. So now you are so logical. You are the logical person and all that. Now, I don't want you to raise your hand, but I know some of you here, I am like that. I used to tell people that if they had allowed me, one day, I got born again, and they let me get a few with the Holy Ghost that day. You now give me one day to be watching people speaking in tongues. I don't understand what they're saying. Ah, I won't speak in tongues. I just say, what is he saying? And all the bread, he couldn't explain it. Because later on, when I discovered what they told me I was saying, I said I would have rejected this. Because I just have thought, why do I need to speak in tongues when God understands English? He said, no, Satan is confused. Am I talking to him? You told me I'm talking to God. I said, that is confused. I don't get it. I said, shut up. You're a new convert. You're talking. I just I said, nonsense. So when you're logical like that, you think. Where you work, you are into strategy. Or you are a security person. You say strategy. If this one fails, you do this one. Option A, option B. Then you say, if this one fails, we have fallback option. And you say, so you are inward witness if it fails. Logical center. Because you are logical. So you are Joseph. You have planned it. My father bowing down to international ministries. It never happened. That was not what happened. He now grew up. Which means, no matter God's plan for your life, spiritual growth is how you are going to work in it. You have to grow up. So if you jump with your spiritual life, you don't grow spiritual, forget about God's plan. Welcome for prayer group, you are absent. Study group, you are submitting the one for 2020. You can't follow God's plan. See, I'm not joking. You can't. 2020. Say, which one is this one? During lockdown. What the talk more about you? you're finished though. No, it is good to tell people. What are you talking about? Yeah, I'm just doing, You don't need being led by spirit. That's not the season you need now. You need simply devoted. So you pray. Can I pray? Someone told me, said, you know, since community, all their prayer is polite prayer. I said, come and give me Muhammad's prayer. Paul said, I cease not to pray for you like this. I cease not to pray for you like this. You pray it. Because as your eyes are opening to your true identity, then you walk in gospel. To know. Look at now what he's praying about. He says, the exceeding greatness of the power to also who believe, according to the mighty power which was in Christ, when he raised him from the dead. Is that Garden of Eden? At his own right hand. So you now begin to see that purpose. When you pray that purpose, you will now begin to hear audibly and clearly in the things of the Spirit. Why can't it be automatic? Why are you renewing your mind? Your mind is still the way it is. So you have to get a hold of God's word and know your supernatural identity. Like James 1:23 says, it says, you see your Genesis face. So the first one is, who am I? What is your spiritual identity? Let me just give you three things. You say, so you pray daily, okay? You pray daily. Pray daily. I told you God's praying is more of God's will than yours. Pray daily. That's God's will. You listen to God's word daily. Now, if you pray and not listen to God's word, right? It's the same thing as you have a car, all right? And there's no fuel. I know what that is in first scarcity. Nigeria. You pray. So I said here, you pray daily. You pray before you listen to the word. You pray before you listen. You pray as you listen to the word. When you are just praying in the spirit all the time, you are listening to God's word. You pray afterwards. So I said, you pray daily. You pray before you listen to the word. You pray so that when you are hearing God's word, watch what I'm about to say. There's a way you can hear the word of God and it just stays in the academic realm. Like someone said, you become a professional listener. You just hear it and you get, what did you learn yourself? You just hear it. Pastor, that was a good sermon, sir. I did not know before now that Jesus is God. Amen. Pastor, I did not know before now. You know, and that's a professional listener. But it has not dawned on you yet. It hasn't dawned on you. So, when you are praying, you are now seeing Shego in what is being said. One of the things you know, we are hearing God's word and His revelation is that the first thing is not you are going to preach it. You will preach it, but you have seen yourself in it. So revelation knowledge. Till now, God's purpose for your life is still hid from the flesh. So the more you throw yourself in the flesh without the caution of walking in the Spirit, you walk straight away from God's plan for your life. So as you pray in the Spirit, Paul says your understanding is unfruitful. 1 Corinthians 14:14-15. The difference between myself and Joseph is now because of the indwelling of the Spirit, I will have information. Much more than a Joseph. But you should expect Joseph's brothers in your story, David, Eliab, and Saul in your story. Let me say this. Anytime delay frustrates you, or opposition haunts you, or hurts you, it's two things. You have not been feeding on the word, and you have not been listening to the inward witness. Anytime. Because there's nothing God has planned in the earth that didn't have opposition. Genesis 3. So opposition should not settle you. Delay should not settle you. Not at all. Crisis. At all. See every crisis and delay as an opportunity to deepen your resolve to follow God and to grow spiritually. Let me say this. When those things happen, they prepare you for another assignment. Just like in ministry, I always tell you, don't abandon the flock. Don't run. Don't run from challenges. Don't. You know, in ministry, I've had chances where there's a problem and people just worry. And what I just do, as soon as this one, I just move on to something immediately. That's why I tell people that I can't remember. And I'm saying this without boasting. This is about 30 years. I can't remember a day that was not ministering to somebody. Or I can't remember the day. Did I have bad days? Eh? It's many. There are days that you want to throw in the towel. Not just towel. Everything. The water, the bucket, everything. But in your depression, you are praying in the Spirit. You get it? In your, someone say your depression, you now be going on Twitter. You're now going on Facebook. You want to ruin yourself? Like someone was believing God for healing. I went to Blessing's house and I saw music. Snoop Dogg. I got a don't late. All this problem. What is problem? You're looking for dog. Snoop Dogg. Bell Biv DeVoe. I said, you don't want to get healed. Not at all. Healed. With this one. And the kind of lyrics they will sing. You shot the sheriff. I'm gonna die. And then I'm saying, be healed. I say, die. You don't get yourself at all. You're not serious. Okay? So when those things happen, you're praying, you're listening to the word. Someone told me, he said, I felt so bad. Hey, Christian! Said, the only thing I wanted to cool off with is just take a bottle of lager beer and cigars. He never said that. Because that's how easy when he was an unbeliever. So we all say, then his old man did not die. He's in ICU. I just want to. What's going on? You're following us, man. So you pray in the Spirit. Pray. No matter what is praying, the Holy Ghost. No matter what, hear God's word. Because you know that in that situation, look at Joseph. You know, he could have thrown in the towel. There's nothing as my own brothers. And you know,
And then you now saw Potiphar. And Potiphar's wife, you know, wanted you to sleep with her. You said no. And that no got you into trouble. And you see everyone witness saying you are in God's plan. God's plan, God's plan, don't get me into trouble everywhere. And they put your name on everywhere. The purported good guy. You know, rapist. And you saw it everywhere. And you don't say, God, where are you? I'm here. And the guy just... And he didn't get... And then the chapter one's dream. And the guy did not even talk about him. And I just said, anybody that has any dream in this place? You know what I said? I'm not doing ministry again. Say why? See what they did to me. I don't care. I wish you go to hell. So anybody that has ministry, you don't have any dream. Just dream and die. No, he did it. You know when he got before Pharaoh? I said, Pharaoh wants to do it. It's now that you need me. He didn't say, please wait, bring Potiphar here first. I just said, this one doesn't have anything. Let me look at it. So I walk in the spirit. So no matter the circumstance, keep the spirit of joy. Yes. Because you are led by God. He's watching over you. Amen. So you don't interpret God's will by circumstance. You don't do that. Amen. So we know who you are. So let me talk about something. And I'll start from there. It's just like when you talk about marriage. When you sit believers down today, have you found out? If you sit believers down, and you are down today, and it has even gotten worse now. In the days of people are just kneeling down, bringing ring, jumping all over the place, and there's so much change of values. So you say, well, getting married, and you say, and they sit believers down and say, okay, what's part of this marriage? A guy is a husband, a wife, and what's the point? What is unique about a Christian marriage? What? There's no, you know, I just like his company. What about his cooperation? It's just humor. Talk about your husband, says he's very humorous. He's this one. He's, you know, they're good things. And they are part of the whole thing. So this one. How will you look at God's word? And say, what did God say about it? We have the physical attraction part. We have the, you know, emotional part. But you see, there's nothing outstanding about that. Oh, I bought my wife a car. Or bought her a private jet. We go on holiday. You know, you take care of your wife. You are submissive to your husband in that sense. You know, African mothers are submissive. Muslim, Christian, idol worshippers. Am I right? Without a knowledge of the word. African men are faithful. We have America. There's nothing beauty. That is not the Christian aspect of it. Because you can get it anywhere. And you should get it if you can get it. Did you hear me? Don't go home and go and say, see what pastor said. I don't have to buy you anything. I wish. Stingy soul. Is that what I'm saying? Eh? For people, that's what they hear. Out of context, that's everything. Every theology is in context, but this one, you see what he said? That's why I said that it's not about, he also said it's not about beauty. That's the word we're saying. What makes it unique? What stands out? What would you, if I stand before Jesus today as a man married or a woman married, what would be the Christian judgment in what I've done? And this will help you from premarital relationships. Are you following my point? Like I said, there's a whole lot that comes from the world. And this generation, good enough, I mean, I'm part of it in the sense of that, but I'm happy that I got saved, I got born before the media era. This is a serious media era because I was saying it in one of the meetings that there was one guy, I know he's not in Nigeria, he will be writing a lot of articles. And the following, the social media influence this person has, is tremendous. When I say tremendous, he told me what he was doing on TikTok. I just went on that thing. Just 30 seconds. Pam, 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 pam. You just find following. And he comes to me for counseling. And I say, Jesus, his mind is messed up. I mean, when I say messed up, hey! Normal can't carry what is there. But he's giving counseling. I was saying, yeah! Thank you for saving my life. I saw somebody like that. He went to comment, and I said, huh? The life is finished. How can you be, So you look at the media era. Don't forget, I've said to you, anybody before camera, except he has the Holy Ghost, is acting. Many people, sorry, don't ever say everybody, is acting. Just say, hello, hi, and he's angry. Do you get it? He's angry. I was counseling a couple where they had gone to file divorce, but they had this contract. They were doing a program on couples, and they would smile together. As they said, as their camera's off, they say, Olushi. I am not joking, no. And they ran the program. They would smile because they were making money from it. There was one. You guys will remember that got divorced. And when they came back, I told you why. You don't know the story. You know the story. I can't give you details. I said the reason is financial. Can you remember? I know you will remember. You. I said it's financial. Because they saw that, with this divorce, and they just came together and they are smiling. They were, yeah. So there's a lot of pressure. And you are following that same pattern. Do you get it? So what is unique about the Christian marriage? What is unique? What is unique? Ephesians 5. Are we learning something here? He says in verse 22, wives, submit yourself to your own husband. Why does Paul slot this in as unto the Lord? For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and is the savior of the body. Therefore, as Christ is subject, why is this emphasis so strong? And let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ. Look at how many times he mentions Christ. Verse 22, 23, 24, 25. 26, that he might sanctify, cleanse with the washing of the water by the word. Same thing. 27, that he might, he doesn't drop it at any point. 28, so men ought to love their own wives. He that loves his wife loves himself. No man ever eats his own flesh. He nourishes as the Lord the church. 38, he goes Genesis 2. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, be joined to his wife, the two shall be one flesh. It is a great mystery. He says, concerning Christ and the church. This is in Colossians 3. Why does he come this strong against it? Why? Now notice very well that in Genesis, Adam and Eve, husband and wife, had a purpose together. Adam knew who Eve was in the service of the Lord. Abraham and Sarah. So we can say like this, look at this. Eve found purpose in her marriage with Adam. Sarah found God's plan in marrying Abraham. Rebecca found God's plan in marrying Isaac. Of course, remember Lot's wife. Priscilla and Aquila were like that. So, you'll find Paul, he's writing Romans 16, say to Priscilla and Aquila and the church in their house. Why that emphasis? It means the reason for the home, why it's called the house, is household of God. End that strong emphasis. Romans 16, 1 Corinthians 16. What then is, what makes my marriage unique? What makes it unique? Let me ask you. If this is Christ loves the church, I'm talking to men now. What did Christ do for us? He introduced us to the Father. That's what he has done. So the question I should ask myself is, to what degree did my wife come to know Jesus, the Lord Jesus, through me? That's what's unique. That's what's unique. Can your spouse, whether premarital or married, can they say, when I met him, I found out I was called to the ministry. When I met him, I found out the treasure of spiritual growth. Like I said, there is nothing else you can do that is unique to a Christian. Nothing. I stand for you when you are in trouble. Oh. Go and watch movies. Autobiographies. I did those for you. I did this one for this one. I did that one. Someone stood by you in times of trouble. Oh. That has happened to unbelievers have done it. And it's a good virtue. Do you understand? That you must emulate. So, because it's not common to Christians, doesn't mean you should not do it. Do you get my point? Because I say we obey the laws of the land. Say, because it's not common to Christians, whatever is of virtue, whatever is true, just think on these things. If it is good, do you understand? We emulate it. That's what I say oftentimes. You know, when you look at the business world, if you're a business person, there are things people will do that are not Christians, and you can emulate it. Are you following what I'm saying? You can. Whatever is just, a very good report, think on these things. So that's fine. But what makes yours unique? What would you say is unique? Jesus took us to the Father. He brought us into fellowship with God. As Christ loved the church. So, you are not getting married to get your wife born again. Look at it, say, nourishes her. What shall I call it by the word? You see, that is what is going on in that relationship. So, that's unique. That's why in 1 Corinthians 7. Are you with me? Are you with me? 1 Corinthians 7. Now, Paul now says, in case you found yourself in a marriage with an unbeliever, he didn't say you go and marry an unbeliever. Aha. So, you don't say, I want to marry you, this guy, so that he will be saved. You yourself need salvation. That's what he's saying here. 1 Corinthians 7. There was a time like that in church history. They departed from Paul's instruction and they said that, because of the society, that they were going to do church growth. This is very well, though, by marriage. So they were asking Christian sisters to go and marry unbelievers, vice versa, so that the church can grow. Yeah. Yeah. In fact, some people twist 2 Corinthians 6, they say it's not really about marriage and all that. When the trouble came, you know, like a person said, Jehovah sees, Jehovah knows. They knew there was trouble. Do you get it? Now look at this one, 1 Corinthians 7. Paul says, look, verse 12. If any brother has a wife that believes not, and she is pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. The woman which has an husband that believes not, she already had. He didn't say a woman can get that. You know, people, that means people got born again to spouses that were not Christians. Okay, so he says here, if you be pleased to do, let her not leave him. Now notice what he says here. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife sanctified by the husband, else were their children unclean, now they are holy. If the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage. We always stop here. Let's take 16 together. What knowest thou, O wife, whether thou shalt save thy husband? Or that knowest, O man, whether thou... Are you seeing that? He puts salvation in the mix. Why is he asking you to stay? Because of salvation. Save. Save. And the Greek here is sodeis. It means to rescue. I looked into the Old Testament and I picked it from the word Azar, Genesis 2, helpmeet, 18 and 19, which means that, you know, there's a higher purpose to that marriage. If you have found yourself, you got born again as a married man, married woman, and your spouse is not a Christian, they said, look, God's purpose in marriage, he's tied to salvation. Are you learning something here? In 1 Peter 3, same scenario. So the way we view marriage, remember what the world does, is still tied to God's plan. 1 Peter 3, likewise you wife be in subjection to your own husband. Verse 1, that says, if any obey not the word, that is not a Christian. Same scenario. they also may be without the word, be one. Now that word one is to gain. It's used for the same purpose, salvation. 1 Corinthians 9. Paul uses the same word. Verse 20. Unto the Jews, no, verse 19. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant to all, that I may gain, same word. Unto the Jews, that I may gain the Jews. That I may gain them that are under the law. Verse 21. That I may gain them that are without the law. So, and that's the same word you have in Matthew 16, 26. What profits a man to gain this world and lose his soul? So therefore, in the marriage, salvation is implied. The gift of salvation. Is there the gift of salvation in your relationship? Is it primary? Salvation, spiritual growth. What did Jesus do to us again? He brought us to the Father. Are you here? He has brought us into a vital relationship. The greatest gift you can give to your spouse, listen to me, is a gift of an effective fellowship with God. Other things matter. Don't forget. Taking care of your family. Yeah. But we said, it's not unique to the Christian faith. I remember a family like that the first daughter was a very good friend. She passed on later on. Very wealthy family. Man was not a Christian. But when I was going to break the news of the father, that was the first time I chopped slap. I didn't know that was how it was. I went to break the news. I just said, back, back, back. The woman just said, she didn't cry at first. I was just quoting scripture. They were not Christians. I was quoting scripture. When she took me, they had to deliver me from her hands. And if you know my body frame then, this was 1997. Six. 1996. And I said, what's that? I told someone, you went there to say, her husband has died. She said, Because it was the girl that told me, you don't know how to break it to their mom. The mom was ill, but she wasn't ill. They told me how they were so close. That anywhere the man was in Nigeria, this was a man using private jets in the 80s. He will fly to wherever they are. They will have lunch. He will go back. And he was not a Christian. Very loving father. But he didn't want to hear about, you are going to church, you are doing this, just go to and go and bow down before a particular statue of a woman. You know what I mean? And pray with something. Say, I must not, no Bible. They didn't have Bible in their house. But loving father. How? Fatherhood is to introduce them to the father. That's your job. Because that is who the father is. So it's the same thing in relationship. All you do is just eating out. Eating out. What are you eating? Eating out. Movie. That's nonsense. Eat popcorn. You start eating corn raw. We'll look at parenting next week. That's the real issue. Salvation. That's why I say if you marry, verse 39, marry in the Lord. I'll close here. You sit your wife down tonight. Or your wife to be. Not tonight. Tomorrow. And sit down. And your husband ask intelligent questions. What have you contributed to my spiritual life? If they ask your wife today, what has this marriage done to her? And she cannot say, I did not know God called me to the ministry till I met you. I don't know how to minister to the sick till I met you. I couldn't study. You brought me to a ministry where I knew God was. Your Christian life challenges me. That is why you are married. Primarily. I said to you, an unbeliever can give every other thing. An unbeliever can give it.
as Christ loved the church. He brought us into a vital union with the Father. Amen. And we know God through Jesus. Is your example like that in the home? Know God through. Or your fatherhood in your, we'll look at that next week. You are even chasing your children from knowing God. After flock, after shouting, screaming, sometimes slapping their mom. You now say, let's do devotion. On the last day. Are you not on the last day like this? Hallelujah. You learn something? Stand to your feet, let's Lord.